Okay, you have your Bible with you, I hope. And turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And our Sunday school series now is Journeys of Faith. And we're following the faith steps of well-known Bible characters. Their lives that were lives of faith. Is your life a life of faith? Think about that as we go through this lesson. Genesis chapter 22, and just hold your place there. We'll be going back and forth to some of these verses as we look at them. We're always exercising faith, aren't we? You trust your druggist? Well, sort of. I mean, but you do exercise faith. You trust your doctor? He tells you you're sick and you got to take some medicine. And he gives you a prescription, so you go get that done. You fly on a trip and you get on the airplane and you trust the pilot and the airplane. You trust that you're going to get there on time. And maybe, but you trust he's going to at least get you there. And it may be her that is flying the plane. But we have all kinds of things that we exercise faith concerning. And so here's the thing. When it doesn't require faith, it's easy to do what God asks us to do. When it doesn't require a lot of faith. So, oh, yeah, I can do that. But when it requires faith, I mean, exercising real faith, and we're going to define it more so as we go along, then a lot of times we waver and we hesitate because it takes faith. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, that Greek word would be the same word as when he was invited. God invited him, called him to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. That took a little faith, didn't it? And so by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Those verses, those three verses, are saturated with faith. He had to have faith. And so he left the what would be the Ur of the Chaldees, today that is modern day Iraq, and he left that area of modern day Iraq and went where he really didn't know he was going, but ultimately where God wanted him to be. The point is, he obeyed God, and this was a journey of faith, and it was a journey to strengthen his faith. God wanted to strengthen his faith. And a lot of times he wants to strengthen our faith, doesn't he? And so that's why he asked us to take steps of faith so he can strengthen our faith. So he left the Ur of the Chaldees, and then another step was that he had to believe that God was going to provide him a son, the son of promise that he had given him, that all of the world is going to be blessed by his seed. Now, keep in mind, at his age, in Sarah's age, that took a lot of faith. I mean, really, it did. Abraham had confidence in God, and he believed what God had said about it, and he was just waiting for God to take care of it. Now, our journey a lot of times leads to what seems impossible. We look at it and we say, it's just impossible. I don't see how this is going to be done. You've asked me to do this, God. And you've given me this situation, and I don't know how we're going to work our way through this. But God wants us to have trust, and God wants us to not look at it with just plain human reasoning. A Christian can't always look at situations with just ordinary worldly wisdom. And if we do that, we'll make terrible mistakes by doing that. So keep in mind, when this is being spoken, Abraham was 99 years of age. Now, you think that didn't take some faith, and Sarah was 90, and then by the time it actually was in process, he was 100 years of age. And so look at Genesis 17, 16 through 17. If you want to turn back there, we'll come back to our regular text, keep you placed there. But Genesis 17, and we'll look at verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, plural. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Now that'd take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? God told him it was going to happen. And he's waiting for God to act and to do what God is going to do. And so he's exercising that faith. Now, human reasoning would say, no way, Jose. It isn't going to happen. But faith says, God said it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. So there was still no son at this point. Finally, Isaac was born. We'll say something about Ishmael in a moment, but Isaac came, Abraham and Sarah were filled with joy. Don't you imagine when that baby was born and they knew it was a miracle of God, and she was 90 and he was 100, and they have a baby, and they're full of joy and they're thrilled about what God did. But now, right behind that, what's God going to do? Give them a supreme test. A terribly supreme test. So look at verses 1 and 2, Genesis 22. Let's go back to our main text. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, beginning with verse 1, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, that is that son of promise, the miracle son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. How would you like to be told that? Offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So a miracle takes place, and right behind that, God says, I'm going to test you just a little bit more. And so that is the request in your outline, the request from the Lord, Genesis 22, 1 and 2. Now, we follow the journey of Abraham. We look at how Abraham responded to God and the right decisions that he made. And these decisions that he made are proof of his faith. He made his decisions based on his faith. A, in your outline, a call to testing. A call to testing. And so that's what he was doing as he gave him that call in verse 1. A call to testing. And he was testing Abraham's true character and his true soul. And he was testing Abraham's heart. What was really in his heart. And so, is he going to be committed? Is he going to do what God said at this point? He did all right before, but what's he going to do now? And this would reveal his true heart, his true soul, his true inward spirit. And that's the way it is for us. Now, God did not, don't misunderstand, God did not tempt him to do evil. God never tempts anybody to do evil. He allows temptation, but he himself does not do that. And so he's going to try him, and he's going to prove him, Abraham, but he does not test him in the sense of trying to get him to do something wrong. James 1, 13 through 15 says it this way, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. You can't say that. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he, that is God, any man, but every man is tempted when he or she is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it's not wrong to be tempted, but when you follow that temptation, let it be conceived. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what it leads to. But we can't blame God. If we sin, if we fail God, we blame ourselves. So what is God doing with him? He's not trying to get him to sin. He's trying to bring him closer to God, bring him in a more intimate, sweet, personal, real fellowship with Almighty God. And you know what? Trials do that. I think most of us would testify, yep, my trial drew me closer to God. And the ones that you're going to have in the future should do the very same thing. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, there it is, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. That's pretty valuable, isn't it? It's more valuable than gold, the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You'll be the recipient of blessings as you go through the trial. And then B in your outline, a call to sacrifice. Again in verse 2, he said, take thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a burnt offering. That's a call to sacrifice, isn't it? Can you imagine? Put yourself mentally in Abraham and Sarah's place for a moment. Just force yourself to say, well, wait a minute, what if that was my son or grandson or whatever it might be? And so he calls him to sacrifice him. Now, look at verses in Genesis 15, 5 and 6. Let's back up a little bit. Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6. 15, 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. God's talking to Abraham, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. That's quite a promise. He said, look at the stars. You can't number them. And your seed's going to be like that. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. It was faith, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And the Lord had made that promise to him, and that he was going to bless him, and that he was going to have seed. Now, how in the world is that going to work out? If you're only one, the seed of promise, you've got to go kill him. How is it going to be that there will be people that follow that lineage like the stars in heaven? How in the world is that going to happen? So Isaac was born, and he was considered the only child. There was joy because of that, and there was joy because he knew there would be numerous descendants all through this one son. Now, question, what about Ishmael, Hagar? Well, he was not the son of promise. He was not in the lineage that God intended, and so he was not considered to be the only son of Abraham and Sarah. And so that was part of God's permissive will, but Abraham wasn't wise in doing that, and Sarah wasn't wise in encouraging him to do that. But only Isaac was the son of promise to Abraham and Sarah. Somebody said, you know when you're getting older, when in the morning you hear snap, crackle, pop, and it isn't your breakfast cereal. This class can relate to that, most of us, can't we? And that's true. Sarah had a few aches and pains herself, I'm sure, as she grew older. It wasn't a miracle non-process, and she was definitely past the age of giving birth. Yet God remained faithful, as he always does, to fulfill his promise. He always does. Hebrews 11:11-12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She was part of this thing. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, the normal age of deliverance, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She had faith too. She judged God faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. She had faith in God. So we have the request from the Lord. We see that. Now, Secondly, we have the response of obedience. And let's go to chapter 22, verses 3 through 8. We'll look at these as we go through part to outline. A under that was immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Verses 3 through 7. And let's look at those verses and see how Abraham reacted. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. Get the picture. And Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. He cut the wood. And they rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So he's obeying God immediately. He's not questioning God. He's not hem-hawing around about it. God told him what to do, and he said, I've got to go do it. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 4, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, two of them, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And now notice these words, and come again to you. He said, we're going up there. I know what I've been told to do, but we're going to come back to you. He either believed God would stop him, or he believed God would resurrect his son Isaac immediately and do that. But at any rate, it's faith. So Abraham, verse 6, took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Can you imagine doing that? And he took the fire in his hand. He had some ability to start the fire and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. I believe I would have too. I said, wait a minute here, Pop. What's going on? You know, something like that. And he said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but, hey, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Where's that lamb? And Abraham had an answer for his son. But you see, he immediately obeyed. And he didn't ask God why. He didn't ask God for a reason. And he gathered up everything that he needed, went there where God told him to go, and he acted in complete faith. George Mueller said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. That's where God gets the glory, and that's where he is glorified. But he acted in complete faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall what? Live by faith. The justified are going to live by faith. And so here's a man. You see, he's calm, he's collective, he's just doing what God told him to do, and I don't know what kind of emotions he was having, but it took total faith in God. And so Abraham told him in verse 5, we're going up there, but we're coming back. God promised through Isaac the people would come, and he knew that. D.L. Moody said this on one occasion. He said, I prayed for faith, and it did not come. But when I read the Word of God, then faith came. That's true. Stay in the Word, you'll have more faith. And you'll see where God has honored faith, and you'll be more apt to practice your life by faith. Abraham trusted the words of God. And that's what we have to do. We trust the words of God, the Word of God. We call it, and he acted in obedience. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, if he had to, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he just believed God was going to take care of it. His duty was to obey. And so in verse 6, he begins by obeying. He took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He's just doing exactly what God told him to do. So he carried the wood. By the way, that ought to remind us of somebody else who carried the wood. And who was that? Jesus. He carried the old rugged cross, did he not? At least for the greater part of that time. And so, in John 19:17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. He followed and went and did what the Father's will was. Christ carried the cross. Now, Abraham left his servants and supplies at the base of the hill. You know, sometimes part of the supplies were left down there. Sometimes we need to leave some things off, cast off some things in our lives that should not be in our lives. Anything, what's he going to do up there? He's going to worship God. And anything that would hinder our worship of God, we need to leave behind. And so he left a donkey behind. He left those two guys, perhaps some other things. But cast off anything in your life and my life that would keep us from being able to worship God like we should. And then be in your outline, faithful obedience. Faithful obedience. Verse 8, we go back to chapter 22 and verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." He had asked, where's the lamb? "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. And he said, "Where's the lamb, Dad?" And so he had faith that God would provide. And notice, I think it's probably not an accident that it's worded this way. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide," skip over that next word, "a lamb." He didn't say he would provide a lamb. He said he would provide himself a lamb. That's the reminder to us that that's exactly what Jesus did. It's exactly what God did with his son. He provided himself that lamb. And maybe that's part of the reason for the wording there. But at any rate, it's very interesting. It reminds us of that. Faithful obedience. When we have faith in God, listen to this statement, we become optimists. When we have faith in God, we are optimistic in life, no matter what we're going through. Several years ago, Adoniram Judson was in Burma, and he was in a filthy jail cell. He had 32 pounds of chains weighed around his ankles. His feet were bound by a bamboo pole, and a fellow prisoner, had a sneer on his face making fun of Adoniram Judson, and he said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen?" In other words, it's not working too good, is it? And he instantly replied this to that critic. He said, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." That I would write in my Bible if I didn't have it somewhere. I'd write that in the flyleaf of my Bible. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Isn't that good? God gives us the promises. We depend on those promises. And that's, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Again, going back to Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Then in verse 16, "But without faith," hear this verse, "without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You've got to have faith. God says it's absolutely necessary. So we have the request from the Lord. We have the response of obedience. And then thirdly, the result of faith. Does God try us simply to see how much pressure he can put on us and how much pressure we can handle? Does he test us just to determine how long we can hold out while we're being tested, or to determine where our faith is. Actually, God already knows where your faith level is right now. He knows the faith level of everybody listening to me right now. But what he does, he allows these things to test us to build our faith, to build it up, to give us more faith as we trust him, and to make us an example to other people. They're watching our lives. Lost people are watching us. Saved people are watching us. People have gotten out of church are watching us. All employers are watching us. All kinds of people are watching us. And so 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We go through trials. God comforts us. He doesn't want us to quit and fall apart. He wants us to turn around and start comforting others with the comfort that he's given us. And so it increases our intimacy with the Lord, and that's what he wants. A, under that, we'll have to hurry, Abraham prepares a sacrifice. Verses 9 and 10, chapter 22. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was ready to do it. He had the knife up and he was ready to come down on Isaac. Now just imagine. I mean, he was going to do it. He knew God could raise him from the dead. He just had faith in God. And so I think this is probably the peak of his trial right here. Wouldn't you say that that's probably the hardest part of all of Abraham's trial was when God said, kill your son and offer him as a sacrifice. Give your most precious possession. By the way, that's what God did for us, didn't he? He gave his only son. And if he's given you the most precious possession, there's not a whole lot else he won't give you if you have faith and ask him for it and live right. And then Isaac also was willing. God gave his son, and Isaac, like Jesus, was willing to accept that place. Philippians 2, 7 and 8, but he made himself, Jesus, of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death, the horrible death of the cross. So God was pleased with Abraham's faith. Look at verses 15 through 18, chapter 22. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, be victorious over them. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Seed singular, Jesus is who he's talking about, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so God was pleased with him. Can you prove in your life, can I prove, can we prove that we have faith by our willingness to sacrifice? Can we prove that we have faith by our willingness to sacrifice? You say, well, sacrifice how? Time for the Lord. It's not always convenient to serve the Lord, and it takes time. Using your talent, whatever gifts God has given you. Some have buried their talents. They're not using them. They have them, but they're not using them. And then also your tithe or your treasure, sacrificing to give by faith, not just the tithe which is required, but above and beyond that, giving by faith. And you'll never be disappointed, my friend, when you do that. But we can do that. by our willingness to sacrifice. Serve him, take sacrifice. Maybe it's saying, God, take my child and let my child go to the mission field. I'd rather have them here at home in America, but if you call them to go to the mission field, I'm 100% behind it. Let them go, and I'll be happy with them being in your will there, whatever it may be. Or maybe God calls them in the ministry, and you figured they were going to be an attorney and have a lot of money to help you when you retire and when you're in the nursing home, and they're not going to do that. They go in the mission field and be broke, or be a preacher somewhere and just have nominal resources. But at any rate, God provides a replacement. Verses 11 through 14, we see that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, means God will provide. As it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen an angel of the Lord calling Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thine only son, I'm going to bless you. And he gives that promise in these verses all the way through there. And so that's part of it. So we have to remember God is much more likely, and I hope you can get this statement, we'll finish up. God is much more likely to reward our obedience with a later explanation than he is to give us an explanation before we obey. That wouldn't be faith. So he'll give us an explanation after we pass the test, but he's not going to explain it to us before that. And he preserved Isaac for the nation. And that's good. Now, let's close it out with just a couple of take-home themes. There's a story of a man by the name of Luther Bridgers. And to make a long story short, he saw his wife and three of his children burn up in a fire. And he tried to get them out, and he couldn't get them out. But he wrote this song right after that, He Keeps Me Singing. Everybody knows that song? There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee. And you know the song. He wrote that right after he lost his wife and three children in a fire. And he didn't get bitter or question God. He just used it for the glory of God. God's still looking for people like that in us, and people who will trust God no matter what the circumstances. He'll trust them completely. All of us are on our journey, aren't we? And I can promise you this, we're still going to face some trials, and we're still going to face some testing. It's coming. It's just there. It's part of the human deal because of Adam and Eve. And here's the question. Will your journey lead you to higher ground? Will your test lead you to more intimacy with Jesus Christ and dependency on him because you trust him through it all? That's what it should be. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for Abraham. What a great example. We know this is not some parable. It's a true story. It really happened. And we thank you for his faith. Help us to exercise that kind of faith in our life. In Christ's name, amen.